Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate the most important event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why is it so important? We're going to get into that. But it's also the most important feast day on the church calendar. Easter Sunday is the greatest feast day of the Christian church. As we sang a few minutes ago, this is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Why do we call it a feast day? Because it's a day for feasting, a day of celebrating with abundant food and drink. That's why we have a great feast prepared in the gym today. It's a day of celebration. Everybody loves a feast day. Every culture has them. Every culture that has ever existed, as far as I know, has had feast days. Days when people get together with friends and family to celebrate something special with eating and drinking. It's an essential part of life. The mundane parts of life, the weekdays, where we get up, go to work, pay the bills, do our chores, run our errands, those are necessary to be sure. But it's not what we look forward to. It's not what our life is really about. We look forward to the great feasts, to the great celebrations when we get to be with our friends and family, the people we love, and not worry about the day-to-day chores. It's almost like we were made for feast days, like we were made to celebrate, and I think there's a lot of truth in that. The Bible talks a lot about feasts and celebrations. Let me share with you about feasts this morning and share with you why today is the feast of victory for our God. Let's talk about number one, the joy of feasts. We love feasts because feasts bring joy. They don't just bring joy, they multiply joy, right? One of the great joys of life is being around a dinner table full of food with the people you love most, sharing your laughter and your love together. It just doesn't get better than that in this world. There are days, those are days when we experience great joy. Everybody loves a feast day, and that includes God himself. God commanded feasts in the Old Testament. He told his people, you will get together with your family, and you will celebrate seven times a year, seven annual feasts in the Old Testament. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles. The people loved those celebrations. They were the highlights of the year. In the New Testament, we have Jesus teaching to us what the kingdom of heaven is like. And his favorite way to describe the kingdom of heaven is a great feast, a massive celebration, a huge party hosted by his Father that goes on for eternity. He teaches this over and over again. And we see that in the parables. We saw in our March sermon series, right? The parable of the great banquet. God's throwing a huge celebration, a huge party, and he wants everyone to come. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. Luke 14, verse 16. And then just a few weeks ago, we talked about the most famous of Jesus' parables, the prodigal son. After the prodigal son returns home, what does the father do? He throws a huge party, a huge feast. Quick, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Luke 15, 23. Both of those parables represent our Father in heaven and how much he loves to celebrate with those whom he loves. God loves a good feast. God loves to celebrate. In that respect, he's just like us, or I think rather, we are just like him. So what makes a feast a feast? What's the difference between a feast and just a regular old dinner? Well, to have a feast, you need three things. First, you need food, lots and lots of food, abundant food, all kinds of food. If you're going to have a party, it's a really good idea to have food there. Secondly, you need people. You can't celebrate a feast alone. Trust me, celebrating a Bears victory with a frozen pizza that you eat all by yourself is not as much fun as you think it might be. I'm not going to share with you how I know that. You just have to trust me on this one. Thirdly, you need something to celebrate. A feast is a celebration, and to celebrate, you need to have something to celebrate. And some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor Larson, you don't understand my life. I've got so many problems. I don't have anything to celebrate. My life is really hard. I've got so many problems. I've got health problems. I've got money problems. And I've got relationship problems. I've got all kinds of problems. I've got nothing to celebrate in my life. So let me share with you that you do have a reason to celebrate. Jesus Christ has given us the ultimate reason to celebrate, because Jesus Christ has won for us the ultimate victory. And that's number two. The ultimate victory happened Easter Sunday morning. At early dawn, a group of women, all friends and followers of Jesus, went to the tomb. They had spices with them to anoint Jesus' body. But when they get to the tomb is empty. Two angels are there at the tomb, and they tell the women, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Luke 24:5-6. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and that is the ultimate victory. It's the ultimate victory because death is the ultimate enemy. Because of sin, there are lots of bad and evil things in the world, but death is the worst of them. Death affects each and every person. Romans 5:12 says, "Death came to all people because all people sinned." We all hate death, and for a good reason. Death is not natural. It's not part of God's good and gracious plan. Despite what you heard in that song from the Lion King, death is not a good thing that is part of the great circle of life. Now, death is a great evil. It causes pain, suffering, and heartache on a global scale to every single person in this world. It's unnatural, it's ungodly, and one more thing, it's undefeated. Everybody dies. 10 out of 10 people die, each and every one of us. And it's the ultimate enemy. We all hate death. But, and hear me on this, no one hates death more than Jesus Christ. No one loves people more than Jesus, which means no one hates death more than Jesus. He is life itself. What does he call himself? "I'm the way and the truth and the life." Death is his opposite. Death is his enemy. The reason the Son of God came into this world was to defeat death, and that's what he did. Jesus Christ takes on death during his ministry one-on-one. And what's amazing is that death, which was previously the undefeated champ, begins to lose a lot. In a little town called Nain, a widow loses her son to death. Jesus stops the funeral procession and raises him from the dead. Then a man named Jairus comes to Jesus and begs him to heal his daughter. On the way there, the child dies. Jesus says, "That's not a problem. She's only sleeping." And he raises her from the dead. And then Jesus' good friend Lazarus gets sick. And before Jesus arrives in Bethany, well, he'd already been dead 4 days. Mary and Martha confront Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus responds and assures them, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. And he who believes in me shall never die." And then, with the words, "Lazarus, come out," Lazarus is raised from the dead. In case you're keeping score, that's Jesus 3, death 0. But the best is yet to come. Jesus is framed for crimes he did not commit. He is tortured and then executed by the Roman Empire on a cross outside of Jerusalem. Death seems to have won the victory. Jesus, who claimed to be the resurrection of life, is now dead. But 3 days later, Jesus Christ rises from the dead. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Or as the book of Acts tells us, death could not hold him. Game, set, and match to Jesus Christ. Death is defeated once and for all for each and every one of us. That's what we celebrate today. Jesus Christ has won the victory over death. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Which brings us to point number three, the ultimate feast. The ultimate victory deserves the ultimate feast, the ultimate celebration. And that's exactly what God promises in our Old Testament reading, Isaiah 25. "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces." God loves a good feast, and he's got a good one, a great one, the ultimate feast, just for you. The best of meats, the finest of wines. Why? Because the evil shroud that enfolds all peoples has been defeated. Death has been destroyed, swallowed up forever, and Jesus Christ has won the victory. God will wipe every tear from our eyes and the eyes of all people. The ultimate victory deserves the ultimate feast, the ultimate victory party. In the words of the Father, let's have a feast and celebrate. We are a feasting church, and we are a church that celebrates the victory that Jesus has won. That feast of victory starts now. The feast has already begun. The celebration is already beginning. The tomb is empty, and we need to celebrate. And that's why we're having a big feast in the gym today, but the real victory feast is what we have during the church service. We come together each week to celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the feast of victory for our God through the meal instituted by the victor, Jesus Christ himself. We receive those incredible spiritual blessings that come out of Christ's resurrection, forgiveness of sins, and life and eternal salvation. But even this incredible meal is just a foretaste of the feast to come. Because one day, when we are with Jesus in his kingdom, we will truly experience that greatest feast, the greatest celebration of all time, the feast of victory in God's own kingdom, heaven. We will all be together with all the saints, all of God's family, all of those who have gone before us in the faith, in a family reunion that will never end. And we will enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus himself, hosting us at a meal in his honor, the victory feast of the Lamb of God who has triumphed, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. To celebrate his resurrection, his victory over death, the ultimate feast for the ultimate victory. Had Christ, who once was slain, not burst his three-day prison, our faith had been in vain. But now has Christ arisen. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And by the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.